Philippians chapter 2, beginning to read at verse 6. Who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is the word of the Lord.
No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. This is the word of the Lord.
God grant that I may speak in his name and in the power of his Spirit, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Well, thank you for your warm welcome. It's my first time here in Harwell, I think. I've been to and fro from Oxford over the years, and I can never quite remember where I got to in my travels, but I think it is my first time here, so it is lovely to be here. Thank you very, very much for your warm welcome. Thank you for the chance to be here on a night of new beginnings, and that's very, very good indeed. A new beginning for you, Peter, deserting God's own country to come to these heathen parts. We do thank you for being willing to be a missionary to us. We need it. So thank you. Thank you for being prepared to join as our children and families worker. Thank you for accepting that position. Thank you too to those of you, I'm sure there are a number here, who are actually funding the post. Thank you very much for putting up the money to make this possible. Can I just give one word of warning? There is always a temptation. I'm sure it won't affect this congregation, but it does sometimes in other congregations, to think, now we're paying him to do that. We've solved the problem. He will do all the children's and families' work for us. That is not your job. I'm sure it's not there in your job description, but it is not your job. Yes, you will have a crucial part to play, but you'll only do it if you encourage and develop a team, and they've got a team here already, but if you encourage that team further, you'll know you've done well when there are more people engaged in doing children's and families' work after you've been here a few months than there were at the start. That's the mark of what you should be about. I'm sure you knew that anyway, but you've got it from me too, so it can't be bad. So great that you're in that role. Jack, great to have you here. Lovely to have you working up at the hospital too. Lovely to have Philip Sutton, the lead chaplain from the Radcliffe Hospitals here tonight. And thank you for all you do up there. And thank you for that opportunity to develop that chaplaincy and to develop the curacy here. Both, I think, if I remember right, you were giving a license for both, weren't you, when you were ordained? And that's absolutely right, because both are so important in your ministry as things develop. And great Pam, part of the home team, but now fully trained, and you know everything you should do. I was at a similar service to this morning for Claire Alcock down in Whitchurch, and her rector said, I can no longer tell her what to do. She has an equal right to tell me what to do. So watch out, is all I can say. But I'm sure you're safe in Pam's hands. So it is lovely to have you here. An important movement on from a training post to being, oh, always learning, because we never stop learning. If we think we've stopped learning, we're in real trouble. But it is a time to move on and to take additional responsibilities, which I'm sure and know are coming your way. So it's lovely to be here and lovely to be with this team. It's a day of new beginnings. And it's lovely to come here on what in the church's calendar is celebrated as Holy Cross Day. Not all of you may know that fact. Let me tell you a bit about Holy Cross Day. It marks the day in the year 335 AD when the Emperor Constantine's mother ensured that the Church of the Holy Sepulchre in Jerusalem was dedicated. She was a bit of an amateur archaeologist, and in her archaeological discoveries, she had found the true cross. Now, whether or not it was the true cross, of course, no one knows. It's not still around. There are bits of it supposedly everywhere. But she believed she had found the true cross, and she certainly was instrumental in building that huge church, which many of us have visited even today in Jerusalem, the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. And whether or not it was the true cross she found, it's good to celebrate today, and that Matt Redman song had it just right. Thank you for the cross. The cross and all it represents is so central to our faith. It's good to be reminded of that in song and in word. It was for St. Paul. Woe to me if I preach not Christ and him crucified. We come back to the cross time and time and time again. Because what happened there on that cross almost 2,000 years ago transformed the whole of humanity, indeed the whole of the universe. It was universal in what happened that day. And of course, down the years, people have sought to portray the crucifixion and the cross of Christ in all kinds of ways. You'll find it very often with a body hanging there, with Jesus hanging on it, on a crucifix. And usually, that is very clearly the body of a man in the extremity of pain, facing death. Sadly, something particularly today we're only too conscious of, as that hostage met his end, met his death, and they videoed it. But Jesus' death was also horrendous. Terrible act, an evil act. And what the people who create those crucifixes, one of the things they're trying to say is that Jesus really was a human being and he really did suffer on the cross. Of course, very early on in the church's life, some people found that very unpalatable. So they started saying, oh, no, he just swooned. Or somehow the God bit of him disappeared just as the worst of the pain was happening. It's not true. Jesus, the Son of God, suffered and died upon that cross. And of course, that's really good news for us. Not just for the results of it, but it does mean that when we are suffering, when you're meeting people in hospital who are really going through it, we worship a God who knows about suffering. Not just as an interesting book he's read on the subject. He's experienced it at first hand. When we're going through it, we can pray to one who really understands what it's about, because he's been there. And that's his message, I find, of comfort and of hope. God we worship isn't a God who kind of cuts himself off from human experience. He's a God who comes into the greatest depth of human experience that we can imagine. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. But of course, that's not the only way the cross is portrayed. My one that I wear, it's a bit of an odd one. The children, I show it to children in primary school, they say, "What's that funny necklace?" One of them likened it to a snowflake, which I thought was rather good. It's known as a Canterbury cross, this one, simply because a cross of this shape was found in Canterbury after the Blitz. They were digging around in Canterbury and they found a stone one in this shape, and you can see it in the cathedral. And because I happened to have worked for the Archbishop of Canterbury at one stage in my ministry, I got one made in this shape. But there is no person on it. It's empty. As the one up there is, as many others are. And that's a reminder, I think, quite a deliberate reminder, that the cross was not the end of the story. It's not just saying that Jesus died on the cross and his body was taken down from that cross. It's empty. And it's empty because he rose from the dead. And an empty cross is a massive statement that Jesus is the one who rose from the dead. And Jesus is the one who is alive forevermore. When we pray to Jesus, we pray to one who is very, very much alive. And an empty cross says that. There's one other example of a cross and of a picture of Jesus. You'll have to go to Langford to see it. I don't know if you know Langford. It's just south of Burford. And if you go there and you go to the church there, you'll see on the outside wall a crucifix like that. And the person on the cross is absolutely like that. Now, if you think about it, it is quite impossible to stay like that for very long, let alone if you're hanging on a cross. And we can't actually tell what happens from here upwards, because at some stage, someone came along and destroyed the face. But if you compare it to manuscripts of the time, and it's about 1,000 years old, it's a very early Saxon sculpture, what you would have had is the head with a crown on top of it. And what that sculptor was trying to say was Jesus reigns as king on the cross. Of course, it's nothing like it looked like on the day. But the sculptor wanted to say, when Jesus died on that cross, he was reigning. He disarmed every authority and principality and power. His moment of weakness was his moment of triumph. The cross as that great conquest of sin and death and all that separates us from God. The cross is the point of triumph. And that's a great message to take out to our world. Cross as a place of understanding, cross as a place of new life, the cross of as a place of forgiveness, of new beginnings, of triumph. That's part of what your ministry is. And you go out, and however you do it, and that's complex at times, your message is that we worship the God who knows what it is to suffer and to die. That we worship the God who has broken through death, and death does not have the final say. That we worship the God who is supreme, and the God who will have the final say in the whole history of humanity and of the universe. That's the God you serve. That's the God whose ministries he will bless in the months and years and decades to come. Amen.